As our opening text for our Bible study today will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you want to be turning over there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As folks were leaving church last Sunday, we actually dismissed a little early last week. And when somebody went out of the door, they looked at their watch and said they didn't feel like they got their money's worth. Well, the gauntlet was thrown down. So this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. I promise you, if you hear what the word of the Lord has to say to you today, the message this morning will make all the difference in the world to you. This will change your life because it's the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh," we're in this natural world and in these physical bodies, these fleshly bodies, "for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Let's pray together. Lord, I trust this morning that you will help me by your Holy Spirit to share the word of the Lord that I believe you put in my heart for today. A word, Lord, that I truly believe will make a difference in all of our hearts if we will be faithful to become doers of the word. We thank you for the scriptures this morning and the Holy Spirit who is here to inspire our hearts and to teach us truth from them. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us in our walk of faith today through this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last week we dealt sort of in a general kind of way with overcoming the flesh nature, overcoming sin by learning how to live moment by moment in communion with the Holy Spirit of God. God's given us the Holy Spirit so that He can teach us right from wrong, but even more than that, so that He can empower us to live and to do what's right. And if you and I will live by the Spirit of the Lord, as the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, we'll not fulfill the desires and lusts of the flesh. We'll walk in the righteousness of God. We found out just as sure as we need the Spirit of the Lord, we need to be continually in the Word of God in order to overcome sin in our life. Because the Bible tells us that the Word is food for our spirit and for our soul. And just like our natural man needs natural food in order to grow strong and healthy, our spiritual man needs spiritual food in order to grow strong and healthy. And Psalm 119 told us last week, the psalmist said, "Lord, your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so the word of the Lord, teaching us right from wrong, becomes that barrier for sin. And as the source of faith, becomes a source of strength to live victoriously over sin. We have a new character in Jesus, and we can make wise choices when we come to know the Lord and His word and His ways. And we can choose where we're going to go, what we're going to do. The Bible told us in Romans chapter 8 to reckon ourselves dead to sin. We're to consider ourselves dead to it and it to us and no longer let it have control over our lives. And therefore, we can choose then where we're going to go and what we're going to do and who we're going to run with and all of these kinds of things and make wise choices so that we walk in the things of the Lord. The simple defense for sin is this, brothers and sisters. It's in Romans, I believe, chapter 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh. He says, just don't go there. Just don't do it. Come on, guys, we know what tempts us. We know what our weaknesses are. We know where we like to dabble in things that are this worldly and not of God. We know what those things are. And the Bible says, just don't do it. You've got the strength by the Spirit of the Lord to make the right decision, to go in the right direction. And you don't have to give in to anger or bitterness or jealousy or greed or lust or any of those kinds of things. Just make no provision for the flesh. We can win. Listen, brother and sister, you and I can do this. Are you listening to me this morning? We can do this. We can win where sin is concerned. It's not because we're anything special, but it's because God is special. It's not because we're awesome, it's because God is awesome. It's not because we have great power. It's because God has great power. And God has great love for every one of us. And wants us, indeed has destined us to win and live a life that overcomes. Live a life that glorifies Him. That's His desire for each and every one of us. And we do it when we live life by the power of God's Spirit. For greater is He who is in us, the Holy Spirit, than he, the devil, who is in the world. And we can do this. Now, I want to turn a corner just a little bit this morning, because sometimes the things that are going on in our lives, sometimes sins or attitudes or different things that we wrestle with, sometimes they've been going on for a long time in our life. And they've taken a place in our life, a position of authority and a place of control over our life, to where often we think, well, you know, it's just been going on for so long, I can never change this. I can never be free from that. I can never break that habit. I can never be a different person. It's just been going on for so long. And I want to share with you this morning from the Word of the Lord, once again, that I believe that's a lie from the enemy to keep us defeated, to even keep us from trying. Do you understand that the devil, listen, he has met God face to face before. He's never yet won. He knows when he meets God face to face, he's going to lose. God lives in you. God lives in me. And if we let God be in charge, if we let God show instead of us, the devil knows he's defeated. The devil knows he can't beat us. So what he wants to do is he wants to defeat us between our ears by convincing us we don't have a chance, so that we never make the effort, so that we never give God the opportunity. It's the only way the devil can keep us defeated is by deceiving us into thinking we don't have a chance and we can't win. Brother and sister, the Bible tells us we are winners. We are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. And if we ever learn that truth, I tell you, we can put the devil on the run and we can have the victory. We can break those controlling influences, those bad habits. We can break the power of addiction over our lives. We can break the power of negative thoughts and attitudes that we've let go unchecked for so long. We can break those things by the power of the Spirit of the Lord who dwells within us this morning. And I want to use a very familiar Old Testament story for you today, sort of as a background to picture how you and I can have that victory over the things that seem to control us all the time. I want you to look with me back over into the Old Testament to the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17 is a story that you've known ever since you were a child in Sunday school. It's the story of David and Goliath. And I want to share with you the message this morning based on this story of how David delivered the nation of Israel from what was a controlling influence and power over their life, one they thought they could never be free from, one that they thought would always control them. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm not going to try to read this entire chapter for you today. I'm just going to highlight a few selected verses here and there. Let me give you just a little bit of background before we even start in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Goliath is a giant of the nation of the Philistines. The Philistines lived in a region of the land in those days, which is right on the Mediterranean Sea. You may be familiar with the name of the that region today. If you listen to the news, sometimes you'll hear about the Gaza Strip. Or you'll hear about this land, Palestine. Brother and sister, that's just a play on the Old Testament name Philistine. The war between David and Goliath, Israel and Philistines, is just the beginning of what we still see happening in our world today between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Same people. Same region of the world. Same land. Same everything. But it still goes on today. David, by the grace of the Lord, was able to conquer the mighty giant of the Philistines of their day, the champion by the name of Goliath. The Philistines had come into the land of Israel. They had come to wage war with them again. They were in the land of Judah. And before they went out to actual combat, army to army, the Philistines chose to send out their champion, Goliath, who alone would taunt the armies of Israel and had them convinced they could never be free as a people. Read with me from 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 4. And let's read down through verse 11. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now my Bible tells me that's about 9 to 10 feet tall. Okay? He had a bronze helmet on his head and he was clothed in scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. The armor that he wore weighed as much as an average man today. 500 shekels, my Bible tells me, somewhere between 150 and 200 pounds. This is the armor that this guy wears. Okay? He has bronze greaves on his legs and bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. This is how big around it is. And the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield bearer also walked before him. 600 shekels is somewhere between, about 20 pounds. This is just the head of the spear that he threw. Most of us can't pick up 20 pounds and toss it very far. This was the head of the spear that this man used. This man is huge, okay? Huge. Continue reading with me. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." When Saul, and remember who Saul is. Saul is the king of Israel. When the Bible is introducing us to Saul, the Bible says that Saul is a man who stood head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. Saul himself is a pretty good sized dude, all right? But look at his response here in verse 11. Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. This guy is so huge, Goliath. He is so threatening to the armies of the Israelites. He is just so massive and overwhelming and awesome in appearance that the whole army is afraid to go. You know, it looks like to me 10 guys could have got together and said, "You know what? Somebody can get him if we just rush him." The whole army hid in the woods, Saul included, the great king of Israel, the great leader of the army. Now, in all fairness to Saul, in his day, he was a pretty good military leader. Not much of a guy character-wise, but as a military leader, he was a pretty awesome guy himself. But even Saul is afraid of Goliath. Brother and sister, Goliath pictures for us today. He represents for us any stronghold that has a stranglehold on our lives, that's controlling us, that's keeping us defeated, keeping us discouraged, whether it's a sin, whether it's an addiction, whether it's an attitude problem, whatever it is, he represents for us whatever is holding us in bondage and in captivity, keeping us discouraged and defeated in life. But brother and sister, we can be free today. We can be free from whatever's controlling us and whatever's keeping us down. If you and I will use the weapons that God has placed at our disposal against the enemy of our soul. We can use the weapons of war that Paul mentioned over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oops. We can use the weapons of warfare that Paul mentions there in 2 Corinthians 10 that are mighty in the Spirit that will break the power of strongholds over our lives. And we can be free today by the grace of the Lord. I want you to watch with me how God does it for Israel through David. Look down at verse 12. We're introduced to David in verse 12. And again, I'm not going to read a whole lot of this, but I just want to highlight a few scriptures. Verse 12, tells us about David. We're introduced to him there as the son of Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons. Some of them are in the military. David is not. David is still tending sheep, okay? He's still a shepherd. That tells us that David is just a teenage boy, okay? Because in Israel, when you reached 20 years of age, you went into the military. In fact, you can make a pretty good argument from Scripture. This is a rabbit trail. You can make a pretty good argument from Scripture that the age of accountability is about 20 years of age. Won't go any further with that. But here, David is not in the service. He is still tending sheep for his father. He was the youngest of his father's son. And so he is probably just a teenage boy. His father sends him to the front lines. He sends him with supplies for his other sons, for David's brothers. And he sends David to the front lines, to the brothers, take these supplies and find out what's going on. How's it going for the army? Bring back a report. This is what the father said to David. And when David gets there with those supplies and he's talking to his brothers, he hears the taunt of Goliath where Israel is concerned. Now remember what we're talking about. We're talking about the army of Israel. We're talking about the mighty King Saul all hiding in fear. And then here comes this little boy, this little teenage boy, to the forefront. And look with me down at verse 24. Goliath comes out again and taunts the armies of Israel. Verse 24. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man? Have you seen this man coming up?" They are in awe. They are in terror of this great Goliath, this champion of the Philistines. But now look down at verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" I want you to notice that one word in verse 26, uncircumcised. That word uncircumcised, by that one word, David tells us something in that verse of Scripture, in that one word. That word tells us that David knows that he has something that Goliath does not. Goliath is an uncircumcised Philistine. It means he has no covenant relationship with God. He has no relationship with God. David says, "I've got a relationship with God. God is on my side. I can see him. He's a big dude. I understand his experience. I know he's a tough guy. But God is on our side." And so he says, "What will be done for the man who conquers this man and takes away the reproach from the children of Israel?" Brothers and sisters, the first thing that you and I need to know, if we're ever going to be free from the strongholds that we face in life, we need to know who we are in Christ, and we need to know that we're covenant children of God and that God himself is on our side. That's more than just theology, brother and sister. That's truth. And if we'll ever learn that, if we'll ever get that, if we'll ever grasp that in and of ourselves, who we are in Christ in our relationship with the Lord, because of our covenant relationship with God, we don't have to be held captive. It's why Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1 that we would know who Jesus is and who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ and the power of God that is available to us in Christ. Our heritage as children of God, let me share it with you from the prophet Isaiah. From Isaiah chapter 57. Actually, I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14 through 17. God speaks through the prophet. He says, "In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me." God says, "I'm not the source of your problem. I'm the solution to your problem." Brother and sister, we need to quit blaming God for our problems in life. Again, that's one of the great lies and deceptions of the devil. If he can get you to blame God for your problem, you won't run to God to get help with that problem. You'll just curse God. And you'll keep suffering from the problem. God's not the source of our problem. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me, God says. Verse 17, look at this verse. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. The scripture tells us that our heritage in God is victory over every attack of darkness in our life. God doesn't want, I realize reality is such that we suffer some defeats along the way in the struggle in our journey through life. But that's not the plan of God for our life. The plan of God is for us to always live in realms of victory. God wants us to always be more than conquerors and overwhelmingly conquer through the Lord Jesus Christ. But brother and sister, I need you to hear this morning. In order to be a winner in life, in order to be free from the strongholds, the strangleholds, the addictions, the fears, the bad habits, the negative circumstances of life, listen to me. We can no longer be merely casual Christians. We cannot be casual Christians. We've got to take our faith seriously. If we are nothing more than a casual, even if we're just going to church, if we go to church on Sunday morning, that's wonderful. But listen, if all we ever do is just practice religion as a weekly event in church, if we don't learn to live our faith day to day with Jesus, we will not be overcomers in life. It's just not going to happen. We cannot be casual in our relationship with the Lord. We must have a deep and intimate personal relationship with Jesus, where we commune with the Holy Spirit continually, moment by moment, every day in our life. And listen to this. It is absolutely imperative, and we'll see this as we go through the study this morning. It is absolutely imperative that we have a knowledge of the Word of God. It is absolutely imperative. The knowledge of the Word of God is no longer optional. God is going to be the source of strength that breaks the strongholds in our life. But in order for that strength to be manifest in us, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And in order to walk by faith, we've got to know the Word. And we've got to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when He speaks. And the Bible, brother and sister, is all about tuning your spirit in to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit when He does speak. If we're not students of the Word of God, when God speaks to us, we're not going to recognize His voice. Faith is not going to come. And we're not going to win against our enemies in life. Knowledge of the Word of God is essential. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. Life, brother and sister, life's not a game. And Christianity has to be more than just religion. Life is not a game. It is a war. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be. And the more we know about the Holy Spirit, and the more we know about the Word of God, and the more we learn how to operate in the power of the Spirit and the Word, the more victorious we're going to be in our journey through life as well. We need to know who we are in Christ if we're going to be victorious. The second thing is, we can't allow ourselves the luxury of listening to other voices. In verse, and again, we're not going to read it all, but back over in 1 Samuel, verse 28, his oldest brother. I think his older brother gets a little offended by the fact that he would come out and talk so brazenly and talk so boldly when he, the older brother, is actually hiding in the woods from this guy. But he makes accusations against David when David comes, and he says, who do you think you are? In verse 33, Saul says, you're not able to defeat that enemy. Other voices would discourage David from doing what David knew he had to do. And brother and sister, we can't let the enemy's voice talk us out of doing what God is telling us to do. We've got to be obedient to whatever the Lord tells us to do in order to walk in His grace and see manifestations of His strength. The devil will question us. He will try us. He will tempt us. He will do everything that he can to create doubt in our mind. Remember what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden? He came to Eve and he said, "Did God really say that?" Brother and sister, well, that's why we have to know the Word. So when the devil comes and says, "Did God really say that?" we can say, "Yes and amen, He really said that, and I'm believing it with everything in me." Because if we don't have that kind of faith in the Word of God, our lives will fold like a deck of cards when the devil comes and brings attack against our lives. In order to stand firm and in order to be victorious, we've got to know the Word of the Lord and not listen to other voices. Don't listen. Don't give heed to those voices. Know what the Word of God has to say. Do you remember how Jesus defeated the devil in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4? Every time the devil came to tempt him, Jesus quoted Scripture. He used the Word of the Lord as a spiritual sword against the devil in order to defeat him and run him out of his life. You and I have been given spiritual weapons of warfare that we can use to run the enemy out of our lives. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But if we don't ever take up the weapons, we're never going to win the war. We've got to use what's been given to us. We've got to know how to walk in the power of the Spirit of the living God. Victory is at hand for us if you and I will lay hold to the Word and the Spirit of the living God and not listen to other voices. Look down at verse 34. 34 through 37. Let's watch David in action now. David said to Saul, "Your servant was tender." Listen, it's almost comical when you look at it. Here is the king of Israel, leader of the military, mighty man in his own right. And now he's taking instructions from a teenage boy. David says to him, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. When he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised," there it is again, "I've got covenant, he doesn't. God's on my side, not on his. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." And so David takes the attack. David goes on the offensive. He goes and takes the battle to Goliath. Oh, by the way, please notice something. Please notice that God didn't take Goliath down on his own independently of David. David had to step up. David had become responsible. David had to go to war. See, there's a time, if God says, "Stand still and see my salvation," we are to stand still and see his salvation. But when God says, "Attack the enemy," then we need to get up and attack the enemy. Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." Most people look at that verse and they see the devil attacking the church. That's not the picture. Gates don't usually go on the attack. See? Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. He's talking about a church that's on the offensive against the powers of darkness. And we've got to take the battle to the enemy. It's time for us to get up and stop being so defensive where the enemy is concerned and get on the offensive and take the war to him. And that's what David does. He takes the battle to the enemy. So too you and I need to take the battle to the enemy where the strongholds and the strangleholds of darkness over our lives are concerned. And please understand this. Typically, when we get ourselves in that kind of a situation where there's something that's holding us in captivity, keeping us in bondage, typically we've gotten to that place over a period of time, over a series of circumstances, and we've allowed things to go unchecked for a certain period of time. Please hear me. the likelihood of that stronghold and that stranglehold disappearing in a single day is pretty slim. You and I have got to learn to be more persistent than the devil is. We can't allow him to outwit us by being more persistent than us and giving in and throwing in the towel. We have to make a determination. By God, I'm going to stand with the Lord no matter how many times the enemy hits. I'm going to hit back at least one more time than that. We have to make a decision that we're going to stand firm if we're going to win the war against darkness. Know what we usually do? Here we are, casual Christian. We toss up a prayer on Sunday morning. And that's it. By Sunday afternoon, we're whining because the problem hadn't gone away yet. And we're not willing to persist. We're not willing to stand firm. We're not willing to fight the good fight of faith. We've got to stand firm against darkness, church. We can't let it get the upper hand by giving into it, by caving into it. If the devil throws 1,000 punches, we've got to throw 1,001. If he fights us tooth and nail for a month or for 2 months or 3 months, we've got to be willing to fight 4, 5, or 6 months. But by the grace of God, child of God, we have the strength to do so. Because it's not your strength and it's not my strength, it's God's strength that's going to give us the victory. And if we will continue to stand, and if we will go to war against the powers of darkness, brother and sister, victory is there for the taking, but understand, it must be taken. It must be taken. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. We must go on the offensive against the powers of darkness. Look at verse 40. So David is going out and he's going to fight the enemy Goliath. It says in verse 40, he took his stick in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. David took 5 stones. Somebody said, why 5 stones? Well, I don't really know, to be honest with you. Somebody said, if he really had faith, why didn't he just take 1 stone? Listen. God never told him he was going to take the Philistine down with 1 stone. If he had only took 1 stone, that would have been presumptuous of him. That's the way we usually fight. Presuming on God and wondering why we're not winning. He took 5 stones. That tells me he was ready for whatever might happen. Did you know, and we used to make a joke about this, but it's true. Did you know that Goliath actually had 4 brothers? Maybe that's why he took 5 stones. He's going to be ready for anything. He's going to be ready for anything. But brother and sister, that's got to be our mindset. We're going to be ready for anything. And we're going to be determined that we're going to persist and we're going to win this war. He took 5 stones with him. Not one and done, or as we do it, one and run. He took 5 stones and he went out to face his enemy. Look at verse 41. 41 to 47. I want you to hear the voice of faith. I want you to hear what it sounds like. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with a shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and with a handsome appearance. The Philistine, I kind of get the feeling from reading that verse of scripture, the Philistine is probably pretty ugly. Anyway, he was impressed by David's good looks. Anyway. Verse 43, the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And then David speaks up. And David says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Brother and sister, you must see this. David's got 5 stones. He's got rocks. He doesn't mention those. He mentions, my weapon is God himself. David himself knows, I'm convinced, David himself knows this battle is a spiritual battle. And it's going to be won in the realm of the Spirit. And it's going to be won by the grace of God and God's power working through me. And so he begins from the beginning to give God glory for the victory that he's about to achieve. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day, the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. That's big talk from a teenage boy. This is a seasoned warrior that he's going up against. You can almost imagine the Philistines standing there and just laughing at everything that David is having to say to him. But he stands in the face of this giant who's been taunting the nations of the army of Israel. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This battle is for the glory of God. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. God is going to give it. David's got to go. He's got to fight the fight. But it's God who's going to give the victory. And David knows that, and David understands that. Another attempt is made by the Philistines to strike fear into his heart. Verse 43, am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? The devil is persistent. We have to be more so. David declares his faith. Please hear this. Most of us think we have faith. My Bible tells me that real faith produces tangible, real evidence. The words of our mouth, the actions of our lives prove whether we really have faith or not. I would challenge you today, as I challenge myself, to consider our own hearts and to say, are we really a people who live by faith? Who really have the kind of faith that sees the power of God released into their lives? Faith is the key to seeing that power. If we really have faith, we'll have the evidence of it. The words of our mouths will demonstrate it. The actions of our lives will demonstrate it. Faith will be evident to anybody who looks at us. They will see it. They will hear it. They will know that we are people who are trusting in our God. Do we have the kind of faith that produces that kind of evidence that other people look at us and know that person believes in Jesus? That person is trusting in the Lord. Do we have that kind of faith? Is it really a part of our lives? David has such faith that he is declaring it in the face of the Philistine. You know what he's doing? Mark chapter 11. Let me read this scripture for you from Jesus. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus says this. Some of the most awesome words that ever came from the lips of the Son of God, and I promise you, we don't believe them. Mark 11, 22, Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Let me read it again, verse 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Please hear what Jesus said. When you and I speak words of faith that come out of our heart and through our mouths, our lips and our words release the power of God into the circumstances of our life. If we really believe, we will speak. Oh, you know what David's doing where Goliath is concerned? He's speaking to his mountain. Jesus said, if you've got a mountain, if you've got an obstacle that seems overwhelming in your life, if you've got a mountain, speak to it in faith. Speak to it what I command, and that mountain will flee from you. David is just speaking to his mountain. He's got an obstacle in his way. It wants to hold him and his nation captive. But David speaks to that mountain. Brother and sister, we need to learn to speak to the strongholds of our lives. We need to speak to those bad attitudes, those negative thoughts, those addictions of our lives, the sins that are controlling us and keeping us in captivity. We need to speak to those things because the power of God is released in our lives when we speak the word of faith, when we speak to the mountains of our lives. And David is speaking to his mountain. There's something about words that releases the power of God. We know just in a general sense that words have power. You can speak to somebody and just encourage them and strengthen their heart and make them hopeful. Or you can speak to them and you can just rip them to shreds and you can tear them down and you can make them feel like nothing. It's the power of words. But there's something even deeper than that. There's something spiritual about the nature of words. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And there's something powerful about words when they're spoken. And there's something powerful about words that are spoken in faith, especially when it's God's word revealed to our heart. I'm not talking about a formula here. I'm talking about something that grows in our heart out of our intimate relationship with Jesus. It's why a relationship with Christ is essential to overcome. It's why a knowledge of the Word is essential to overcome. You must have that intimate relationship with the Son of God. But there's something powerful about words in the Old Testament. Did you know that there's a man in the Old Testament who spoke to the sun and the moon and they stopped dead in the sky for a day? That's power, brother and sister. That's power. His name was Joshua. Elijah, the prophet, stood before King Ahab and he said, it's not going to rain again until I say so. And a drought lasted in Israel for 3.5 years. That's power. That's words of power. James refers to it this way. He said, Elijah prayed and it quit raining. Elijah prayed again and it rained. That's power of words. That's the power of his words. Jesus spoke to Jairus' daughter and raised her from the dead. He spoke at Lazarus' tomb and called him forth. He said, Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said if he didn't use the name Lazarus, every dead person in a tomb would have come out of there. Lazarus, come forth. And by the power of his word, Lazarus was raised from the dead. He spoke to a paralytic and it was healed. He spoke to demons and they fled. He spoke to storms and they ceased. It's the power of his word. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I only say what the Father tells me to say. In other words, brother and sister, all of those things that Jesus did, all those things that Jesus said, he didn't make them up on the fly. Those things came out of the intimate relationship he had that with his heavenly Father. And the Father spoke to his heart. And what the Father spoke to his heart, he spoke out of his mouth. And when he spoke what the Father spoke, power was released into the circumstances of people's lives and miracles took place. There's power in the Word of God. And if you and I will speak what we hear the Father speaking to us, Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 spoke to a lame man and he was healed. Peter spoke to a little girl named Tabitha and raised her from the dead. Paul spoke to another man who was crippled, and he was completely healed. There's power in words that are spoken in faith. And when we know who we are in Christ, and we speak the word of the Lord that he speaks to our heart, his power will be released into those circumstances. It's why the centurion came to Jesus. The centurion came to Jesus, and his servant was sick at home, and he came to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, my servant's sick. Jesus said, you know what, I'll come and heal him. The centurion said, hey, stand still, brother. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. He knew of the power of the word of God. And when Jesus spoke the word, that man was healed. We need to speak to our mountains, brother and sister. We need to speak to our addictions and tell them, no more. No more do you control my life. I'm a child of the living God and freedom is my destiny. Victory is my heritage and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'll not be controlled by you any longer. I will be free because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We need to speak to our strongholds.
We need to speak to our addictions. And we need to keep speaking over and over and over. Listen, not one stone and it's done. Keep speaking till victory comes. Keep declaring the word until freedom comes. Don't quit. Don't give up. If you have to speak 1,000 times a day, you say it 1,000 times a day until the enemy flees and victory comes. Look at verse, let me get back over quickly and I'll finish this real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's look at the end of the story. Verse 48 to 51. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line. Israel's running in one direction, David's running the other. Israel's running away from Goliath, David's running toward him. We need to run toward the enemy, brother and sister. We need to go on the offensive. We need to take the fight to him because God is on our side. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag, took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword, the Philistine's sword, drew it from its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Listen to me. David didn't leave anything to chance. He throws a rock, hits him in the head. The Philistine falls over. He's dead, or at least appears to be dead. But David didn't leave anything to chance. He finished the job. Brother and sister, we can't leave anything to chance where the devil is concerned. He's too crafty. He's too deceptive. And if we walk away, he may rise up again. And we need to fight against the enemy, and we need to be sure that we've cut the enemy's head off where our battles are concerned. And David took Goliath's own sword and cut off his head to be sure that Goliath would never taunt the armies of Israel again. We need to wield the spiritual sword against the spirit of darkness, against the devil. We need to use the Word of God as the spiritual weapon that it is. Empowered by the Spirit of God, we need to use the spiritual sword of the Word of God in order to defeat our enemy and speak to our mountains until our mountains have been removed. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to believe in the Word of God, and we need to speak it in faith and to release God's power into the circumstances of our lives. If we will use God's spiritual weapons for the purpose for which they've been given, victory is assured us. We are destined to win. Father, we thank you that you have given us everything that we need to live a victorious, overcoming, abundant life of peace and joy and contentment. Lord, help us to be wise and knowledgeable enough to use what you have put at our disposal to drive the enemy out of our lives. I thank you today, Lord, that we can overcome any stronghold, any sin, any bad habit, any addiction, any negative attitude. We can overcome it by the power of the Word and the Spirit of God, our spiritual weapons. Thank you for the Word of God today, Lord, through which you've taught us how to use our spiritual weapons to conquer our enemies, to cut off his head. Help us today, Lord, to rise up strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And help us to always, always, always persist until we overcome. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Father. Church, let's think about our own lives today. Let's think about our own lives and those areas of our life where the enemy seems to often have the upper hand. Maybe it's a negative attitude. Maybe it's maybe there's a problem with anger. Maybe there's a problem with lust, greed. Maybe these things are strongholds over your life. Maybe there's an addiction. That could be a number of things, couldn't it? Sugar, caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, drugs, could be any number of things. God wants to break the controlling power of those things over our lives. He's given us the tools, and today He's taught us how to use them. Will you fight the good fight of faith? Will you speak to your mountains? Will you declare God's victory over those things in your life? Will you come against them in the name of the Lord of hosts, in the name of Jesus, and declare the victory is yours? God wants to set us free today. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Bless you, God. I can almost hear the Lord saying to us today, take up the challenge. Stand up. To stand in His strength. To trust Him. To know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He's going to give us the victory if we will stand in Him and with Him, and from that perspective, fight the good fight of faith. But like David, brother and sister, the responsibility is ours. You know, David could have hid in the woods with the rest of Israel. And the Philistines would have ruled. Let's take our responsibility seriously. Let's do our part. And let's trust God to work through us to give us victory. So, Father, I trust today that You would take the message that I've shared from my heart today, one that I have learned and continue to learn over and over again through experience. And I trust, Lord, that You would impart truth to our hearts, understanding to our minds, and a willingness to do what You say to do. Thank You, Lord, for the victory that is sure and guaranteed because of the cross of Calvary. And so now, Lord, I trust that You will take these people into the week that's ahead of us. You will lead them by Your Spirit. You will watch over them and keep them. You will bless their lives with Your presence. You will fill their hearts with Your goodness. Thank You, Father, for the better days that lie ahead, for the glory of Jesus. Amen. And amen. In your presence, in your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. Go walk in your victory, church. It's yours through Jesus Christ.